Okay, I'm not quite sure what happened there, a bit of a jump. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen. O my God, I believe, I adore, I hope, and I love Thee, and I beg pardon for those who do not believe, do not adore, do not hope, and do not love Thee. Welcome to Alive, this is Claire, and thank you for joining me. Just as we have a few days left before we head in the new year, 2018. I'd just like to dedicate this program to the late Gary Menzies, my co-host for 11 years. And of course, prior to that, Gary had the program himself for 13 years. So if you have listened to this program over the years, you will have heard that Gary tragically died back in March, and I have to say every time I come into the studio I shed a little bit of a tear for my wonderful, wonderful co-host and very, very, very dear friend. I do miss him so much, but I do know he's in heaven. Okay, we had a fantastic talk last week. We started Father Linus Clovis. He is the chairman of the Auckland FLI Family Life International, which is a pro-life organisation. And he is from the Caribbean. He's based there, actually raised in London, and he comes to New Zealand twice a year, and it's always such a treat when he's here. So his talks are quite profound. So he started, it's all about the crisis in the church, the collapse of society, the breakdown of marriage, and how it all relates to Fatima. So let's go and hear Father. Yeah,
Colleen asked me to give a talk in Manivite, and she said, if possible, join it with something about Our Lady of Fatima, which was a challenge. This was the first time that I'm actually giving this particular talk. And as usual, I always look at the historical background to the events that surrounded us, because if we really don't know our history, we're not going to know our present. We don't know how we've arrived at where we are. And it's quite surprising, actually. So, if we connect the two, if we look at the problems we're facing today, when did they begin? If we can actually locate a date, it would be interesting. And surprisingly, the first thing I noticed was Margaret Sanger, who we could say is responsible for the sexual mess we're in, opened the first birth control clinic in New York in 1916. And this was also the same year in which the angel appeared to the three children of Fatima. In the following year, the angel was preparing the children for the coming of Our Lady the following year, and in 1917, Our Lady appeared in Fatima, and on the 13th of July, she gave to the children a secret. It was one secret, but it was divided into three parts. The following year, and the same year, 1917, the Russian Revolution occurred. There was a brief lull, for about 10 years, 12 years. The apparition at Fatima was tremendous. There were 70,000 people who saw the miracle of the sun. And when our Lord needs to confirm a teaching or a doctrine, a miracle is necessary, something that only God can do to confirm the truth of the message. So the miracle of the sun was and is very important to Fatima. Our Lady said to the children she would come back again, a seventh time, to ask for the consecration of Russia. And so in 1921, she appeared to Sister Lucia on the 13th of June, and her words were, "The moment has come when God asks the Pope, in union with the bishops of the world, to make the consecration of Russia to my Immaculate Heart, promising to save it by this means." 1929, the moment has come. What happened in 1929 that Our Lady could say the moment has come? And in 1929, Stalin began the persecution of the Catholic Church and the Russian Orthodox Church. So the persecution of the Church began in that year. And by 1941, 20% of the hierarchy was left. From 130 bishops, there were only 28. And from 50,000 priests, there were only 500. 1%. 99% of the clergy had been killed. The following year, again, Sister Lucy, speaking to her confessor, said, "The good God promises to make an end of the persecution in Russia if the Holy Ministry to make and orders to be made by all the bishops of the world a solemn act of consecration of Russia." This is 1930. Nothing was done. However, the next move in the sexual revolution occurred, because in 1930 the Anglican Church at Lambeth Conference approved contraception. And when this occurred, immediately Pope Pius XI issued Testi Connubii, which reaffirmed the constant teaching of the Church that contraception, or the impeding of the marital act in its finality, was always immoral. And this was a teaching that all Christian churches held until the Anglican broke the mold. 11 years later, 1941, the Germans invaded Russia, and this took Stalin by surprise. He had most of the bishops imprisoned or under house arrest, but suddenly one of them, Sergei Stragondrovsky, was released, and he was a very subservient supporter of Russian propaganda. He accepted an offer made by Stalin, and Stalin needed support of the Russian people in the battle against the Germans, and so he used the religious element. And so Metropolitan Sergei called on all believers to join the struggle for the salvation of the motherland. And of course, Russians, being very devout Christians, they immediately rallied at the call of the bishop. 2 years later, the Germans were repelled at the Battle of Stalingrad, and Stalin realizes now the power of religion to win the support of the Allies. So he's looking now at the British and the Americans and the French. He recognizes the patriotic value of religion. He pretends to liberate the Russian Orthodox Church, and he has Sergei elevated to patriarch. And to win over the support, he invites the various heads of the religions and the Anglican Archbishop of York, Dr. Cyril Babette, was invited, and he attended the installation of the patriarch, and he left Russia with the impression that all was good and that religion was not being persecuted, atheism was at the end, and this was the message that he promoted. But that same year, and it's interesting the parallels, the same year, Sister Lucia was struck down by a mysterious illness. And the bishop was so alarmed that he asked her to write down the secret. He was afraid that she would pass away. And this happened again on the same day Dr. Gabet left Moscow, the 15th of September. Of course, this is the piece of his father's father, Blessed Lady. And Sister Lucia wrote down the secret, and she indicated it was to be opened at her death, or by 1960 for the latest. And she added, when it would become clearer. So something would happen in 1960 that would make this secret clearer. 1960 came, and John the 23rd asked for the secret, he opened it, and dismissed it. He said, this is not a message for our time. The council was in his mind, and so the Vatican Council was called. All the bishops of the Catholic world were, of course, would be present, and it would have been an excellent time for the consecration to be done. But no, there was a deal made with the Soviets. Pope John wanted the Orthodox bishops to attend as well. And this is not unusual. In all of the councils, the Orthodox bishops and the other non-Catholic religions had been invited. In fact, they were invited to attend. They chose not to. So his invitation to the Russian Orthodox is not unusual. But a deal was made. There would be no condemnation of communism and no mention of anything about Russia. And so that was the agreement. And so despite the efforts of many bishops to include the condemnation of communism, nothing was done. And so the council closed. Humanity was still in the making. The new Pope, Paul VI, assumed the pontificate in 1963. The question of contraception came up again. In fact, with the advent of the pill, there were claims that things are different now. It's not like the old contraceptives, which were barrier methods, but now this appeared to not to interfere with the integrity of the act. And so John the 23rd had set up a commission to look into it. Paul the VI expanded the commission. The commission issued a report. It was an advisory commission. And their report was that the church could make a change. But there was also a minority report which said no change, and given theological reasons. The majority was a majority of one. It wasn't as if there was a whole movement towards the changing of the church's position on contraception. But the report was leaked, and so there was certainly within the Catholic world that the church was going to change her teaching. And so when Paul VI, who prayed and certainly had the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, it said that when Paul spoke, it was Peter speaking, and he said he held on to the traditional teaching of the church. There was an outright rejection of the document and rebellion of the church. And the rebellion in 1968 was such that it split the church. It established the fundamental flaw in modern thinking about human sexuality. Rejection of the encyclical established this, that there's no necessary connection between human sexual activity and procreation. They're two separate things. And of course, with contraception being acceptable, sex became a pastime. Promiscuity was widespread. There was an explosion in sexually transmitted diseases, as we know. Teenage pregnancies, single motherhood, abortion. Abortion came in the US in 73. It was earlier in England and other places. Increased divorce rates, pornography, sex addicts. And now we have an aging population. All of this because Humanae Vitae was rejected. But it didn't stop there. The acceptance of single-parent families meant that now there was no necessary connection between marriage and children. And that's where we are. And conversely, of course, having children has no connection with marriage. So we can have in vitro fertilization, and we can have marriage without children. And so we have single-parent families, the numbers rise, juvenile delinquency rates rise, teen suicide rises, And since there's no connection between having children and marriage, we have gay marriage now and our doorsteps. So, having sown the wind, we now reap the whirlwind. So, 2013, we've seen the complete breakdown of Christian marriage. There's a legal imposition of gay marriage, and as we saw in France, it is not something the people, the ordinary people want. It's something that's been imposed on us by through parliaments and through the judiciary. But the gut feeling of ordinary people that there's something wrong. So we have reached a stage now of something called apostasy. What is apostasy? God, in his wisdom, in his love, created the nine choirs of angels. He did so in hierarchical order. So we have Lucifer at the head, and Lucifer means the light bearer. He possessed the greatest intellect and the greatest beauty that God had given in any of the angels. And since the angels were created in hierarchical order, the higher angels, the seraphim and the cherubim and the thrones, they possessed more powerful intellects and a greater knowledge. They were to enlighten the angels at the lower levels, the principalities and virtues and powers, and so on. The angels were tested. We do not know the details of the test. But Lucifer, the leader, said, "Non serviam, I will not serve, I will not obey." And immediately there was the great man who was thrown out. And the many of the angels, a third of them, thought it was better to be wrong with Lucifer than right without him. That mentality is what happens today as well. Those who fell became demons. The angels were faithful, they were confirmed in grace and now remain in heaven, and they continued the battle. God then created the human race. He created Adam, and he endowed Adam with preternatural gifts of integrity, that's the unity of body and soul, bodily immortality, impassibility, unable to suffer, infused knowledge, that is, all the perfections in the natural order. Infused knowledge, he was also given supernatural gifts and the gifts of grace, and that elevated his soul to a supernatural level. And so, as St. Peter tells us, he was a partaker of the divine nature. But the gift of infused knowledge, Adam knew all that he had a natural aptitude to know. For instance, have you ever thought, you have an egg, and the bird hatches the egg, and the little bird comes out of its bed, and suddenly it knows how to fly, it knows how to go and build a nest later on. Where did it get that knowledge from? Or the silkworm that spins its cocoon. How did it know that? That's the kind of infused knowledge we're talking about. Adam had this in the natural order. So he knew all of us needed to know about the physical universe, about material and spiritual things. He knew the moral law, the divine attributes of God, and man's relationship to his creator. He also had the supernatural knowledge necessary to guide him and his descendants to their supernatural end. All the gifts Adam received would have been passed down to us, as original sin was. It would have been passed down to us, with the exception of the infused knowledge. Sin would be the teacher of the human race. So we would have learned these things through Adam. As father of the human race, he was instructed to govern, instructed to govern mankind, just as Lucifer was to govern and enlighten the lower angels. However, Adam, the father, the head, and divinely appointed teacher of the human race, disobeyed God. He fell into sin, taking the entire human race with him. But unlike the angels, God promised us a Redeemer. The provision for the Redeemer would begin with God choosing a people, the people of Israel, the children of Abraham. And it was from this people that the Redeemer would come. This chosen race received supernatural revelation from God. Mount Sinai, they received the law. They received instructions about the temple, how it was to be constructed, what was to go into it, the kind of worship. You read the book of Leviticus. All of this was directly from God.
Okay, it's very, very interesting that Father should talk about Adam and his infused knowledge. Now, the earliest sky map is 6,000 years ago, and in Isaiah it says that Adam had infused knowledge and he named all of the stars. And the stars in the map, this earliest sky map, 6,000 years old, very revealing. Jonathan Gray has written a book about it, and you can see it, Strange Signs in the Sky, on the net. And basically, the devil takes control of the earth. A virgin has a boy child. The boy child fights the devil and wins, and order is restored to the earth. So very, very interesting. But we've just gone past 3 o'clock, so we've got divine mercy time. Very shortened version of the prayer. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who is the power of the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Now, if you're pregnant and worried, there's a great organisation in Auckland, which I mentioned a little earlier, Family Life International. So that's 0800 for life, 0800 for life, Family Life International. And there'll be a friendly person on the end of the phone, and they can help you with all of your needs while you're pregnant and even after the baby is born. There's a lot of practical needs there. So if you're worried, just give them a ring and you'll be very pleasantly surprised. Okay, program always, I don't know, runs out very, very quickly. Have a brilliant new year, and we're going to end with that fabulous group, The Priest.
Sun.